ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू डिस्कस वन ऑफ द मोस्ट स्वीटेस्ट वर्स ऑफ द भगवद्गीता विच has the shortest translation. Therefore, generally when we want children to learn shlokas, first I generally teach this. Because this verse has the shortest translation, easy to memorize. And simultaneously this teaches how to become most beautiful. Everyone wants to become very beautiful. So many beautiful beauty parlors, right? We want to become very beautiful. So those who want to become very beautiful, kindly stay back and listen. Gita, Krishna, the most attractive person, gives the secret of how to become most beautiful. So beautiful that God, who is most attractive of all, is attracted by this beauty. So please chant with this, with me, after me, this very sweet verse, very beautiful verse. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति यो मे भक्त्या प्रयच्छति तदहं भक्ति उपहृतम् तदहं भक्ति उपहृतम् अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः अश्नामि प्रयतात्मनः. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Very simple translation, very short, very sweet. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, a water, I will accept it. Simple. But very, very deep. Very deep like an ocean. Shoreless, bottomless ocean. Gita is the essence of all the Vedic literature. So what we are reading, this particular section, is the essence of the essence of the essence. No exaggeration. It is the essence of the essence of the essence. Why? Because the essence of all Vedic literature, Sarvopanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gita Amritam Mahat. Sarvo Upanishado. Veda comes from the root word with. With means to know. And Veda means a body of knowledge. Veda means a body of knowledge. Infallible, original knowledge. So, the Veda Anta, the end of all Veda is Vedanta. And that is Upanishad. Upanishads are called Vedanta. Now why Vedanta? Why is called Upanishad? If you want to understand the essence of all Vedas, the conclusion of all Vedas, then three things are required. Upa. Upa means near. You have to approach a self-realized soul. Even a medical book, you can't simply read and operate on yourself or you start reading some medicine. Though all medicines are available in the shop. You may even know what your disease is. Why do we go to a doctor? If medicines are available in the market, why go to a doctor? Because we want to know exactly what my disease is. Which medicine should I take? What is the dosage? Someone who can give me specific for me. There are so many medicines, but which medicine do actually I have to take? So therefore, upa means actually approaching a self-realized devotee of the Lord, a saintly person who understands the essence of all. There is a letter of the law and there is a spirit of the law. A man who has understood the spirit of the law. How he has understood the spirit of the law? Because he has understood the heart of the lawmaker. Sadhavo hridayo mahyam sadhunam hridayantaham. A saint resides in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord resides in the heart of the saintly person. Because a saintly person understands the heart of the Lord, he understands the heart of his statements. Every scripture is a word of God. And if you really want to know the spirit of the law, the heart of the law, you have to know the heart of the lawmaker. Why he said this in this particular way? In what situation? Why he said this? Without approaching a man who knows the heart of God, you can't understand the heart of the scriptures. So therefore, upa. Upa means you must approach a self-realized soul. Then, ni. What is ni? Ni means to sit down. Why sit down? Very significant why the speaker is given a slightly, at least 6 inches above the speaker, above the listeners, as an etiquette. Because as water, as electricity, water flows from high level to low level. Electricity flows from high potential to low potential. Similarly, knowledge also flows from high to low. Which means humbling oneself. If you think you know everything, why approach a person? Anyone to know more? Of course, that doesn't mean simply physically sitting low. One time I was speaking in school, our own school, Gopal Garden School in Borivali, and one child raised his hand and said, "Prabhuji, sometimes we speak on Sundays and there are people sitting in the balcony when Maharaj is speaking here." So I said, so, all right, he's asking a question, I open it to the class. Tell me, if a person is sitting on the balcony, is it right or wrong? Will he get the advantage or not? One girl raised her hand. I said, "Yes." "Prabhuji, the temple is so crowded, there's no place. And also there are so many mothers with young children. If they sit and the mother child starts making noise, how can they go out? You know, it's embarrassing to walk out. Therefore, they sit there. From there, they can walk out also." I said, "You have understood the heart of the law." Young girl. Fourth standard, that means 5 plus 4. 9, 10 years. So, ni means humility. It doesn't simply mean physically sitting down. It means to realize I am fool number one. I don't know. I need to know. And I actually approach in all humility. Please instruct me. I'm ignorant. Otherwise, what is the need to go to someone else? I know everything. Why should I go? And also, it is the responsibility of a person who sits on this particular seat. This is called Vyas Asan. Vyas Dev. That person should properly represent the knowledge. In all humility, in all earnestness, to the best of his ability, in a way that can be easily understood by the audience, with due respects to the great souls, offering them all prayers, one should actually do this. Therefore, I'll begin with prayers. because out of excitement I spoke a little extra. This is verse is so much, I can speak for hours and hours and days together. But I got excited. So before I speak any further, I'll offer my prayers. So Upa is approaching a self-realized soul. Ni means to humble oneself. And the third thing is Shat. Shat means to sit down. Sit down means to be fixed, to be not be restless. If a patient goes to a doctor and says, "Doctor, you know, I have this thing, give me a medicine." He takes it, takes a tablet and says, after 1 minute, "Nothing has happened, still fever is there, still the tumor is there, still this is there, I think I'll go to someone else." Hey, take the course at least, Baba. It's a 6-day course. You have to take once in 6 hours. No, I want to take all the tablets together. It doesn't work. To be fixed, meaning to understand fully. It's not easy. It's actually a lifetime project. Lifetime's project. To become a good doctor, at least you have to struggle for 5 years. Even there, Upa, you have to approach a surgeon. Not that you read medical book in your home and start operating. Ay, Shishi Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki. So Shat means to be fixed. Sit down at one place. Not become restless. Till you understand the essence of all the scriptures. Why we should we understand the essence? Why should we understand the essence? Because if you don't understand the essence, you will not know how to apply this situation, apply these principles in different situations that you come across, at different times, with different people. Unless you know the heart of the law, you will not know how to apply it. Times keep changing, people keep changing, situations keep changing, circumstances keep changing, lifestyle keeps changing. 50 years ago, mobile was not there. Why 50 years ago? 30 years ago? 10 years ago? TV was not there. One person asked me, "Where does it say, Krishna saying in the Bhagavad Gita, don't watch television? Napashyatam Duradarshanam. Do's and don'ts, don't do this, use you can use." Unless you know the heart of the law, you don't know how to apply it. Therefore, one has to be fixed up to understand. So, Upanishad is the Vedanta. And the conclusion of all the Upanishad is Gita Upanishad. That is why, at least in the court of law, earlier it used to be, I don't know, nowadays they don't do it. You have to place your hand on the Gita. Jo bhi kahunga, sach kahunga, sach kisi aur kuch nahi kahunga. Why not any other scripture? Garuda Puran, don't you keep in the court of law? Why not keep Skanda Puran? Why keep only Bhagavad Gita? Just I say, Bible is that. Quran is this, Granth of this. Similarly, for Hindu, Bhagavad Gita. All that you need to know to achieve the ultimate perfection of life is present within the 700 verses of these 18 chapters here. Krishna gave a crash course to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Crash course on the Veda. Crash course on Vedanta. So, the essence of all scriptures is the Bhagavad Gita. Gita is divided into 3 divisions. The first 6 chapters, the second 6 chapters, and the third 6 chapters. 18 chapters. The middle 6 chapters, from 7 to 12, is again the essence of the essence. Why? Because this describes bhakti. Devotional service. The first 6 chapters are karma. The last 6 chapters are jnana. Why? The essence is placed in the center. for two reasons. Whatever is very valuable, you keep it not on the edge or not on the window. You keep it in the heart of the house. Treasure. You don't keep your treasure near the window, near the doors. You keep your treasure right in the center of the house. Protected. Just like the heart. Right? It's very interesting. The heart is not kept on the head. Krishna could have kept the heart. So easy to do heart operation and heart transplant. But the heart is kept inside a rib cage. Well protected. Because the heart is the heart of the matter. Why he has kept it protected? Because it's very important. It shouldn't be damaged. It should be well protected. Therefore, the middle six chapters are kept in the center. Secondly, mere karma without bhakti is useless. Mere jnana without bhakti is useless. Mere knowledge without devotion makes your heart very hard. Hard-hearted person. Mere work without devotion makes your work donkey's work. Shramaye vahi kevalam. Mere labor, waste of energy. Therefore, very carefully the Lord has kept 7 to 12 right in the center to protect it and also to give sanctity to all the other rest of the chapters on the two sides. So, essence of the essence. Gita is the essence and Gita's essence is middle six chapters. And the center of that is the 9th and 10th chapter. Because 6 means 9th and 10th. End of 9th and beginning of the 10th is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The heart of the heart of the heart of the Gita. In the 10th chapter, the 4th verses, 8, 9, 10, 11. Aham Sarvas Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. And the last chapters, Manvanama Bhat Bhakto, last few verses. So this section is the essence of the essence of the essence. So if you understand this particular verse, you understand the pulse of the Gita, you understand the heart of the Gita. Why? Because you understand the heart of Krishna, the speaker of the Gita. How wonderful is he? How compassionate is he? How accommodative is he? How merciful is he? How liberal is he? He is telling here, what is the qualification that is required to please him? Ultimately, to please the Lord, we are all his part and parcels. To please the Lord is the ultimate perfection of life. It's not easy to see God. What to speak of pleasing God? First of all, nobody knows who is God. Many think that they themselves are gods. First to know God, then to know the heart of God, and then to actually please the Lord. Krishna is giving in this. If one offers me with love and devotion. This is the most important part. This is the heart of the verse. The heart of the heart of the heart of the heart. Essence. If one offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, patram, not patrani, not in the plural, patram. Patram means singular. One leaf. Pushpam, not pushpani. One flower. Phalam. One fruit. Shabari offered. One flower. Gajendra offered. One leaf. Rukmini Devi offered. And toyam. If nothing is available, little water. Not necessarily bisleri water. Any water available. Nearby. How merciful is the Lord. Tatram pushpam phalam toyam. Yo me bhaktyat prechati tadaham bhakti uparatam. Two times he has stressed this word. Krishna unnecessarily. This is like a telegram. This is like a lightning phone call. Not any word is redundant here, unless it is essential. And repetition means emphasis. And emphasis because it is important. So in this verse, he uses it twice. Patram pushvam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparatam ashnami. Krishna says, I eat it. Can you imagine? Krishna eats it. People don't believe. Why do people don't believe? For two reasons. First of all, they don't believe God is a person. Number two, stones cannot eat. Right? Rational. It makes sense. To a rational intelligence, it doesn't make sense. Where is God? Show me God. Here is God. Curtain will open, 8:45. If you wait, you will be able to see God. Face to face, as you are seeing me, and I am seeing you. Ha! Come on, that's a piece of stone. If we think it's a piece of stone, that means we are minimizing God's power. Inconceivable power. Why can't God reciprocate with each of his devotee through his beautiful manifestation as Vigraha? Few days back, I met a devotee. This person, his son is in Australia. Every day he said, I see him and I talk to him. We chat. So they chat and he has a camera and that person has a camera. And that person is seeing him and talking to him. And the other person is seeing him and talking to him. Just imagine. Father is here. India, Sayan, Kolivada. Son is in Australia, Melbourne. Every day, for at least 1 hour, they see each other, they talk to each other. The heart-to-heart communication is there. If in this material world, ordinary father and son, with manipulation of technology, using 450 grams of gray matter, can communicate and see each other and talk to each other and nourish each other with their love. Can't the Supreme Father, who created all the fathers and all the children and all the whole material creation, is so important that he can't communicate? Poor fellow. Sorry, I'm in Golok Vrindavan. You rot there. What kind of an important God is he if he can't communicate? How foolish. How foolish. Prabhupada gives a brilliant example of deity worship. He said, post box. Of course, nowadays because of email, nobody uses the snail mail. Post box. I think by the time this child grows up, if I tell post box is post box, kya hota hai wo? I've heard of so many other boxes, but what is this box? But post box, what is post box? AIDS Patreka Dabba. It's a box made of tin and painted red color and hung somewhere in some pole. Now, suppose that post box is 2 kilometers away and you say post box bahut dura hai. I will also make a similar box like that and put it in front of my gate and start posting letters. Do you think that the letter will ever reach? Absolutely not. Obviously not, because it is not authorized post box. It is the same tin, it is the same paint, but the government has not authorized it. Similarly, it's an ordinary box, but when government installs, a whole department is put in charge of functioning behind that ordinary looking box. What is the proof? Put a proper address and put it in the box. To whomever it is addressed, it reaches. If an ordinary box made of tin, painted red, empowered by the government, can actually reciprocate with you and communicate your message to whomever you want, can't the Lord manifest in a way that He can actually help you to love Him and serve Him, to develop love? Actually, the essence of all scriptures, of all religion, is how to develop love of God. That is the essence. All rules and regulations, all rituals, all our pujas, all our worship, all our chanting of mantras, everything boils down to one purpose: how to develop love of God. And Krishna is giving such a simple process. He makes Himself available, standing 24 hours a day. Here I am, please come. And why offer? Why does He say patram pushpam phalam toyam? Why? Simply because love means reciprocation. If a husband rings up a wife from the office and he says, "Darling, I really love you." Every 1 hour he rings up, "Really love you, but I have no time to come home. Okay, manage on your own business, but I really love you." There's no time. He doesn't offer any gift. Doesn't even remember the birthday. You think the wife will believe him? What is this love without exchange? Actually, it's love. But that love is shown by exchange of gifts. Dadati, you give something. Pratigrihnati, that person also gives something. You reveal your heart, that person also reveals their heart. You offer him some food, that person offers you some food. It's not actually the food which is pleasing. Who is offering it? When Krishna went to Hastinapur to talk with Duryodhan, put some sense into his head, give the Pandavas at least 5 villages. They are Kshatriyas, they have to rule something. Don't snatch away everything by a crooked means. He wanted to impress Krishna and want to get him on his side on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He went. So many people invited Krishna. But only Krishna went to Vidura's house. He didn't accept Duryodhana. Duryodhana had prepared 64 chappan bhog, 56 offerings made in pure ghee. Amazing feast he had offered to attract Krishna. Vidura didn't even know. He said, "I am so fallen. Krishna, I don't think he'll going to come." Without even invitation, he went to his house. That is love. That is intimacy. You don't need an invitation, formal invitation. "I come nevertheless." He went there. Duryodhana said, "Oh, I called you, you didn't come." One devotee expressed, I don't know whether he mentioned the scriptures, but a devotee expressed a very matter-of-fact thing. He said, Krishna told Duryodhana, "Baba, dekho, people eat for 2 reasons. If someone is hungry, then they eat. Or even if you are not hungry, someone offers with so much love, you can't say no, Okay, chalo, at least take a piece of it. I am not hungry and you are not offering with love. Therefore, kabhi aur dekhenge." But he went to Vidura's house. Because Vidura not only offered, Vidura's whole life was dedicated as an offering. His life was an offering to Krishna. Though he never, bragged about it. He didn't care who said what. He lived for Krishna's pleasure and satisfaction. This is real beauty. What is real beauty? Right? Let's think about what is, when you see something beautiful, two things must happen. When you see something very beautiful, real beauty, not just superficial external beauty, real beautiful, when you see, two things must happen. Number one, your heart should melt and your tears should come from the eyes. Oh, what beauty. That is real beauty. The heart should melt and tears should flow from the eyes. It has really touched your heart. That is really beauty. So there is a beautiful verse which says, what is beauty? Narasya abharanam rupam. Narasya abharanam. Abharanam means ornament. What is the ornament of a person? You walk into a room where 100 people. First, you generally attracted to a person who is very beautiful, right? Beautiful physical features. First thing that attracts a person's eyes is someone who is very beautiful. Physical features. Maybe nicely decorated, whatever. So, narasya abharanam rupam. But, as they say, beauty is skin deep. Beauty is also temporary. What actually makes that beauty more beautiful? Rupasya abharanam gunaha. If that person has sweet qualities, that beauty is long lasting. Rupasya abharanam gunaha. Kaikeyi was the most beautiful lady in whole of Ayodhya. Maharaj Dasharath was sold out to her beauty. 24 hours he would stay with her only. But she was actually very beautiful. If she was here today, she would have been the Miss Universe. She was actually very beautiful. The day after hearing from mantra, just like in a snake hole, if you keep on pouring water, all the snakes come out, ugly way they manifest. By hearing mantra's words, the totally sleeping, dormant qualities, ugly qualities of envy and hard-heartedness and cruelty manifested in Kaikeyi. And she sent Ram to the forest. So selfish she became. She forgot all the wonderful qualities that she had was covered over. And the day Ram went, the day, the next few days, Dasharath Maharaj died. Nobody in Ayodhya ever wanted to see Kaikeyi again. Including Bharat. It's inauspicious for me to see. Don't even call me your son. What is the use of that kind of a beauty without good qualities? It's actually the quality which attracts, makes a person attractive. Not just the physical features. Foolishly, superficially, people are attracted. How long that beauty is going to last? How long that beauty is going to attract? So what is really attractive is the good qualities. Selflessness, love, truthfulness, simplicity, humility. But then, there is something which decorates and makes those qualities even more steady and long-lasting. What is that? Narasya abharanam rupam. Rupasya abharanam gunaha. Gunasya abharanam jnanam. That quality should be based on sound knowledge. Knowledge of the truth. Otherwise, these qualities can become sentimental. Arjuna expressed this sentimentality of compassion to his relatives on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna said, this is actually klaibhyam masmagamah partha. This is impotence. Give up all this so-called external superficial compassion. This is not compassion. This is weak-heartedness, hridaya daurbalyam. Don't be cheated just because they are your relatives and they are doing this. Live by the truth. So those qualities, when it is based on solid truth, then it can be properly exhibited for the benefit of oneself and for others. Otherwise, it is neither beneficial for the other person nor for us. So, gunasya abharanam jnanam. And then, jnanasya abharanam. Now, there is that knowledge should also be decorated by something else. And what is that? Jnanasya abharanam kshama. The ornament of real beauty. Beauty is quality. Beauty of quality is knowledge, sound knowledge, absolute truth. And that knowledge must, the decoration of that knowledge. What is the use of having that knowledge if you do not share out of compassion? Forgiving out of foolishness and compassion of the people. People may act anyway, but the saintly person is always forgiving. One time, a man was standing on the edge of a river, and he saw a scorpion fell into that river and it was drowning. So the man immediately picked up the scorpion. As soon as the scorpion was picked up by the man, it stung him. And I don't know how many of you have ever been bitten by a scorpion, God forbid. Nobody. Therefore, there is no reaction. Anyway, you were bit? Acha, you survived. Great. Can you please explain how it was? Can you pass the mic? It is said, it's like a hot, red hot charcoal placed on your hand and tied with a bandage permanently for the next 12 hours or something.
It was very painful.
Pardon?
It was very painful and I feel like it was very burning. And when I went for treatment, that fellow put my hand in that fire and also...
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, here we have realized soul. Thank you for giving your... Now I can speak with more realization. So, this man picked up and it stung him. And because of that pain, he just slipped out of his hand and fell into the river again. Surprisingly, the man picked up again. Again it bit him. Because of the pain, he just slipped from his hand. Fell down. For the third time he picked up. There was another man standing. He said, "Are you a fool? You're risking your life. Why are you trying to save that? Let it die." So the first man said, "No, no, no. Today I learned a wonderful lesson from this scorpion. This scorpion has become my guru." Huh? What kind of a guru? He said, "Today I have learned the lesson from this scorpion. This scorpion is ready to die, but it is not giving up its nature. What is its nature? As soon as someone comes in the front, first sting, then talk. Business later. First sting. Even it knows if it stings, it's going to die, but still it's not giving up its nature. So my guru has taught me, even if you die, do not give up compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upadesh, hamara agyaye guru hoye taroi desh. This is a sign of love. Love of God manifests in four different ways. The same love of God, it manifests in four ways. With God, it's a question of surrender and service. If you love God, you have to surrender to His instructions and serve Him, please Him, satisfy Him. If you really love God, you have to befriend those whom He loves. That is the devotees. If you serve God and blaspheme the devotees whom God loves, you are hurting His heart. Because devotees are very dear to the heart of the Lord. So if I just praise you and serve you and then take an arrow and shoot your heart, that's not really love. So, if you love God, you have to befriend the devotees of the Lord who are very dear to the Lord. And if you really love God, that same love manifests as compassion for the fallen souls. Because that's where the heart of the Lord is paining. The heart of the Lord is paining that His children are suffering in this world without proper knowledge. So a devotee of the Lord extends, a lover of God extends out of compassion. If you see, even Jesus Christ, when He was crucified, He said, "Forgive them, the Lord, for they know not what they do." Haridas Thakur, beaten in the marketplace for preaching the message of God. Nobody had survived beatings in 2 or 3 marketplaces. If dragged and beaten with 4 powerfully well-built people, who will survive? One shot on the head and finished. Haridas was beaten from morning to evening. And he said one particular statement, which if you really understand, should make our hair stand on end. He says, "Khanda khanda hoye deha jai jadi pran, tabu ame badanena chade hari naam." He said, "Khanda khanda hoye deha, you may cut my body to pieces. Jai jadi pran, let my life go away, but you can't stop me from preaching the message of God." That is love. Ready to sacrifice anything to please and satisfy the Lord. Sita was like that. Ravana gave so many temptations of position, power, opulence, comfort. He even threats. He just couldn't, move Sita's determination. That's love. So, jnanasya abharanam kshama. A person who really has that knowledge, sound knowledge. Understand. What is the essence of all guna? Is love. When you love someone, you will try to be selfless. You will try to serve. You will try to please. Love is the essential quality. And the manifestation of all that is all the other qualities. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana. Sarvair gunaistatra samasate sura. Just like this garland here. Beautiful garland. If each of these flowers are good qualities, the thread which holds them is the love of God. Without love, if you pull the string, it all scatters. Manorathena sadidhavato vahi. If you don't have love of God, those qualities are very superficial. It won't last. Kamsa had so much love for Devaki. Meri pyari behaniya banegi dulhaniya. Sachke aayenge dole raja. Bhaiya raja bajayega baja. Baja diya usne baja. He was telling he loved her. He wanted to exhibit how much I love my sister. And everyone was saying, they were actually moved. Wow, what love. How much he loves his sister. Personally, he wants to go and drop her at her in-law's place. How long? Till the voice from the sky said, "You fool, Kamsa. You trying to show your love, but her son, 8th child, will destroy you." What? This relationship was, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. Sometimes, see, you can't scratch your back, you see. Very difficult. Therefore, you develop a friendship. Why? Because somebody has to scratch my back. I can't do it myself. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. The moment you stop, then I stop. It's very purposeful, very, very matlab ki, kya bolte hai, rishte, matlab ke rishte. But here we see so much they extend themselves. So, real beauty is qualities. Essence of all that quality is on knowledge that God is the source of all love. I should become an instrument of that love to the others. Instrument of His compassion. And that when it manifests, it attracts the heart of the Lord. And such a person, whoever he is, he can be a monkey. Hanuman. Hanuma, monkey, not very good bodily features. But he was, Lord Ram was so much attracted. Kaha Bharata Sama Tuma Priya Bhai. He embraced, he says, you are as good as my brother. Lord Ram said, I will eternally indebted to you for what you have done. You are the best servant. Why he told you are the best servant? Because I gave you only one service, to find out the whereabouts of Sita. There are three kinds of servants. A third class servant is, you tell him, bring me some milk. He brings chhas. Milk, no, Maharaj, aapke liye chhas bahut achha hai abhi. That is a third class servant. He thinks he is smarter than you. Smarter than the master. Second class servant, jo bole so kare. You told me, I'll do exactly what is told. You wanted to know where Sita is? She's in Lanka. Sampati told me. Finish. He would have been still a great devotee. Lord Ram would have been happy. But he was not satisfied. How can I show my face unless I give him complete information? How much risk he took. Not only, and in Lanka, he was searching everywhere. He risked his life, enter into, Ravan's kingdom. He very carefully went. He has never seen who Sita is. He had heard some description, that's all. And she was so scared, she wouldn't trust anyone. So he located, first of all, Sita. Not only located, she was about to die out of separation, out of torture that she was undergoing. He gave her tremendous consolation. He gave her hope. He gave her faith. She was so pleased. At that moment said, Ashta Siddhi Nava Nidhike Data Asavaradina Janaki Mata. She gave him so much benediction. She says, I am eternally indebted to you for giving me hope at this time when I need it the most. And not only that, like a real representative of Lord Ram, said, now my real job is done. Now I have to give some, give a piece of my mind and also tell these enemies a sample of what is going to happen if they don't release Sita on their own. If an insignificant servant, I want to show what he can do to this Lanka. Thousands he killed, burned the whole city, gave tremor in the heart of, terrorized the greatest terrorist. Super terrorist was Ravan. Terrorizing, including demigods were terrorized by the name of Ravan. And Hanumanji caused terror in the heart of Ravan. Whomever they would send, kya ho gaya? Mar gaya ho. Theek hai, bade bhai ko bhejo. Chota bhai, ho bhi gaya. Isko bhejo, isko bhejo. And then he came back. So, there's a beautiful verse that says, there is no qualification required to please the Lord. How do we develop this love? How do we become attractive in the eyes of God? Very simple, Krishna says here. He only needs love of your heart. Because everything else is His. The body is His. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu kham mano buddhi reva cha ahankar ityam. Krishna says, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, everything is His. What is yours? If you go to Ganga, how do you worship Ganga? Stand waist deep in Ganga, hold Ganga water and say, Mother Ganga, Ganga ya swaha. Kaun sa bada kaam kiya? Ganga ka pani Ganga mein. But she is very pleased that you have expressed your gratitude. Like a child. Suppose a 5-year-old child wants to eat some lollipop or something. He goes to the father, takes 2 rupees from his pocket, with or without his knowledge. Goes to the shop, buys that lollipop, but before eating, he says, Papa, you take the first bite, then I will eat it. father's heart is sold out. Not because of the lollipop, which I think he wouldn't have eaten for years. He won't like to eat that also. And it's his own money. But the child who's received so much wants to express his gratitude. What is that gratitude? You taste it first. This is an expression of gratitude. By your mercy, I've got this. By your mercy, I'm getting all the facilities. You taste it first. He may not even act. He just embraces just by that gesture. The father says, I will die, no problem. I'll die hungry, but you will never go hunger. You will never go hungry. I'll make sure of that. How you can conquer the heart of an ordinary father by one lollipop bought by his own money? That's exactly the spirit here. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktyat. He just offered me with love and devotion. Everything is created by God. Therefore, Prabhupada in the early 1960s, when he actually went to the West, he would tell his devotees, when you come to the temple, bring one flower, bring one fruit, whatever. Come and place it here. We already see three fruits are there. Very nice. That means three people have got love of God today. Installment. First installment of love has already come. It's not that God requires. He's Atmaram. Lakshmiji is serving him. But he needs to see. And you may say, I love you, I love you. But actually anything that you offer is an external manifestation of that love. Without love, any ritual becomes burdensome. It is a fact. I often give this example. One time I went along with our Swamiji to one house, a Gujarati devotee's house. This lady had prepared a four-tier dokla, green and yellow and red, and whatnot, you know, amazing. And after that, she gave a plate of salad, you know, vegetable salad. There were cucumber and beetroot and carrot and some other things like that. And it's amazing. Even that carrot was cut like Sudarshan Chakra, you know, so beautifully and decorated so nicely. In fact, it was so nice that we didn't want to disturb it. It's too good. The design will go away if you pick up even one. It's like a house of cards. If you pull one, everything will fall apart. It must have taken at least 45 minutes to make that one plate. Now, I was a little offensive. I thought, kya time pass itna karna hai? Why waste? She doesn't have any better business. Yeah, aisa aisa kaatna usko usko. Char gajar rakh do, ek chaku rakh do, kaat ke khalo maharaj. Kaat ke khalo bas. Ultimately, you have to eat it. That's there. But what is your part? That is the nature of love. Love means that extra. Going that extra step. Going that extra mile. Otherwise, where is the question of love? But if that lady had told the maid servant, "Hamare Maharaj ji aane wale hain, aisa aisa kaatne ka, aisa aisa lagane ka," for her it would have been 100% a burden. Kya aisa kaatna hai? At least she would have thought. Why? Because she doesn't know who is coming. She has no love for that person. Therefore, for her, theek hai na, kaat diya na, chota chota bada. Nahi nahi, patla banao, aisa banao, aisa. It would have been burden. So, all rituals, why decorate the temple so nicely? Why keep it so clean? Why all these carvings? What's it? Have at least some, you know, roof should be there. So that if it rains or hot or something, theek hai. But sign of love. Everything a devotee does is actually an exhibition of love. In fact, he's never satisfied. He does this and he says, Krishna, for all that you have given, what is this? This is nothing. That is the nature of love. The more you do, the more you feel I have done nothing. How much more I could have done? How much more I can give? But the nature of lust is expectation, expectation. This much only? I did so much for you in this. This much only? The nature of love is to give. So this is a wonderful verse that talks about. And this love even started at the beginning, even a small way, captures the heart of the Lord. The most attractive Lord, Madan Mohan, even Cupid is attracted to the beauty of the Lord. But that Lord is attracted to the beauty of the spirit, not of the skin. And what is that beauty? Love. And how that love starts, how that dormant love is manifested? By service. And how do we serve? Begins with hearing and chanting. Hear about your beloved and chant the glories of the beloved. That's the purpose of this temple. The Lord is everywhere, no doubt. Can we see Him everywhere? No. Therefore, we need to come to a place where we understand the science of God. Where we understand who He is. Where we learn how to love Him, which is the ultimate perfection of all religion, of all spirituality. And we are taught how to actually please Him. Love means to please the beloved, ultimately. If the beloved is not pleased, what is the use of all that endeavor? How to please Him? What does He want? He is saying it. Yo me bhaktya prayachati, tadaham bhakti upahartam. Twice he says bhakti. Bhakti means, sometimes people translate bhakti as devotion. No. Prabhupada says bhakti means devotional service. Practical manifestation of the principle of love. It manifests as hearing about the Lord, chanting about the Lord, remembering the Lord, serving the Lord, worshipping the Lord, offering beautiful prayers to the Lord, befriending the Lord, ultimately surrendering everything to the Lord. What is the big deal? Everything is His. You have to surrender the time of death ultimately, whether you like it or not. But before that day comes, voluntarily, if we offer ourselves, my Lord, I am yours. Deal with me in whatever way you want. Krishna is bound by that love. Krishna is attracted by love. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions? Very soon the Lord is going to have darshan. I mean, give His darshan. We come here not to see Him, but to be seen by Him. To be seen by Him. This is another. He is pleased when He sees all His parts and parcels sitting there. So we come here eager to be seen by Him. And when He is satisfied, yasmin tushte jagat tushtam, then we, within the core of our heart, feel totally satisfied. What is the proof? Nothing else in the world is required. A person is self-satisfied. Satisfied within. So now when the curtain opens, let us pray to develop that love. That inner beauty of pure devotion to the Lord. Unalloyed, uninterrupted love. Which actually captures the Lord. And makes Him, all beautiful Lord, become attracted to the beauty of the spirit. Sri Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.